Josie Briggs, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. Purpose of this short podcast is to tell you about the highlights of the February issue, which should be in your mailboxes soon. In this issue, we have two basic papers that I thought of particular value to tell you about. The first is a paper by Bogarski and co-workers on lipid metabolism and acidosis-induced AKI. Clinical studies have suggested that metabolic acidosis aggravates tubular damage in patients with either AKI or CKD, but the mechanisms have been somewhat uncertain. In this study, using state-of-the-art intravital live cell imaging and other complementary techniques, the authors demonstrated that in the mouse kidney, metabolic acidosis induces acute changes in the mitochondrial redox state, respiratory chain function, and lipid metabolism, which collectively contribute to tubular cell damage. Intravenous injection of bicarbonate increased blood pH and improved function, whereas pretreatment with a nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide precursor was highly protective. Thus, changes in cell metabolism may contribute to the harmful effects of metabolic acidosis on kidney tubules. This suggests some strategies to ameliorate these effects. Another valuable basic paper we're publishing this month is a model of pregnancy-associated acute kidney injury. There's a fair amount of evidence that patients have lingering subclinical damage after AKI, even if serum creatinine levels are back to normal. Particularly, recent findings indicate that women with a history of AKI have poorer maternal and fetal outcomes, suggesting that subclinical injury contributes to impaired renal response to pregnancy. The authors developed a novel model using female rats who had undergone complete biochemical resolution of surgically induced renal ischemia reperfusion injury, but then developed during pregnancy renal insufficiency and showed intrauterine growth retardation. It's a novel model, and the editors felt this will serve as a useful preclinical tool to address the critical gap in knowledge guarding the mechanisms by which AKI predisposes to adverse kidney outcomes. This paper is by Gillis and co-authors. In our clinical portfolio, we have a paper by Reese and co-authors looking at kidney histology and graft rejection prediction. Many kidneys donated for transplantation are discarded because of abnormal histology discovered in pre-implantation biopsy. In an analysis of data from transplant centers in France and Belgium, where pre-transplant biopsies are prospectively performed as a standard practice, but do not guide organ allocation decision-making, Reis et al. Found that transplant histology did not improve the prediction of subsequent allograft failure beyond that of a baseline set of donor and recipient characteristics. They also found that kidneys transplanted in Europe that were similar to discarded donor kidneys in the U.S. had acceptable allograft survival. This study raises the possibility that there may be some lost transplant opportunities. Next paper I thought we're talking about is one on air pollution in CKD. It is established that exposure to air pollution is associated with CKD risk, but the data has been relatively sparse on how large this risk is on a population basis. In the analysis, Li et al. Are publishing from a large survey, population survey of Chinese adults, they demonstrated significant association between long-term exposure to high ambient particulate matter levels and increased CKD prevalence and increased albuminuria. These associations were significantly stronger in urban areas among males and among individuals under 65. They offer insight for target population protection. We have an accompanying editorial by Drs. Ali and Bowie. Another valuable paper, we think, will be a paper on darbepoetin dosing strategy and transfusions. Historically, erythropoietin-stimulating agents have been titrated to achieve a predefined hemoglobin concentration when treating CKD patients with anemia. This is a randomized trial that was designed to describe benefits and potential risks of a different treatment strategy using a low fixed dose of darbepoetin compared with the more classic hemoglobin-based titration dose algorithm. The authors found that the use of a low fixed dose of darbepoetin looks like an acceptable alternative to a dose titration approach to minimizing red blood cell transfusions in CKD patients and may result in a smaller cumulative dose. The authors of this paper are Toto and co-workers. The last paper I wanted to direct your thoughts to is on antibody-mediated rejection. As our transplant readers know, in kidney transplant recipients, when donor-specific antibodies do not activate complement, recruitment of natural killer cells is thought to be involved in graft destruction. In this paper, the authors combined observations from a cohort of kidney transplant recipients with antibody-mediated rejection, and using that data and transcriptomic data and some good in vitro models, they found that the capacity of the recipient's natural killer cells to sense absence of self HLA molecules, i.e. missing self, on graft vasculature synergizes with DSA-dependent natural cell activation and contributes to worsening the outcome of complement-independent chronic antibody-mediated rejection. A schematic figure from this interesting study is on the cover of this month's issue. It does suggest that screening for missing self could help to stratify the risk of graft failure and guide a more personalized therapeutic approach in patients with antibody-mediated rejection. There's a related editorial by Hidalgo and all on this paper. So we think you'll find it an interesting issue, and we hope you find studies there that will be helpful in your own work. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions about any medical condition, or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.